Please be seated. It's our pleasure to be here, as always. We enjoy our trip to Florence. I take as my text from the Gospel, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits." Let the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be always accessible in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. I have no idea how televangelists keep their jobs. Now, I understand why many of them cultivate a great following. They are charismatic. They have great presence. And they play well to the simple-mindedness that many folk lean toward. But outside of the basic tenets of the gospel, what they spout is utter garbage. Their theology is often an invention of their own imaginations. The megachurch and televangelist sermons most often are self-help seminars, which have little to do or nothing to do with better understanding God or the sanctification of humanity. Perhaps the most confounding detraction from the list is the utter failure of the prophecy that they manufacture. Benny Hinn and Pat Robertson, possibly two of the more famous televangelists, have made careers out of pulling prophecies out of thin air, none of which come true. If either of these two had actual prophetical gifts, then the world would have ended a couple dozen times by now. But still, they gain thousands upon thousands of followers and millions upon millions of dollars. Now, what is the appeal for this type of ministry? Why is it that people seek out these prophets who do little but disappoint? Well, firstly, the Bible is filled with prophets in both the Old and New Testaments. And so people see contemporary prophets as being a continuation of biblical faith. The writings of the prophets make up the majority of the Old Testament, and the majority of the other books are filled with the exploits of many others. The word for prophet, Navi, can be directly translated from Hebrew as being spokesperson. The prophets of the Old Testament perform the duty of predicting things to come, but most often they act as the spokespersons for the will of God. The major theme of the prophetic books before the exile is less a prediction of definite events and more of a warning that the Jewish people should return to a holy life in the service of God. There are far fewer prophets in the New Testament. And in the Gospel, John the Baptist foretells the coming of Christ and prepares the way for his arrival. And in the Revelation of John, John of Patmos foretells the future struggles that the church will suffer before the second coming of Christ. But others who are named as prophets in the New Testament are only said to be filled with the Spirit. Their capabilities are centered around their capacity to just speak the Word of God. Groups which are intent on the restoration of the church of the Bible see continuation of prophecy as a necessity for Christian faith, but they do not understand what prophecy is even supposed to be. They insist that prophets will come to be definitive fortune tellers, but they miss the point of prophets being simpler, spirit-filled spokesmen of God. Scripture tells us that there will be prophets which arise, but how do we know who is the legitimate prophet and who is false? We are warned in Scripture of the terrible things that outsiders will inflict upon us because of our faith. But in today's reading, in the 7th chapter of St. Matthew, we are warned by Christ of the dangers in our midst. Wolves in sheep's clothing will come to devour us. Among our own people will be those who are out to get us. They that will tell us that they love God and love their neighbor, but they have their own interest in mind and not God's. These wolves, false prophets, vary in message, but ultimately they justify their anti-Christian message and seek to fill their pockets or to build their reputation and fame, but how do we know who's who? There's the obvious answer of, look at this bizarre new approach, appealing to some, but should be a warning to everyone. But today's gospel reading is very clear. If someone is truly filled with the Spirit and blessed with the gift of prophecy, then what they say and do will be glorifying to God and beneficial to others. You shall know them by their fruits. A truly godly person will not build themselves up at the expense of others. Instead, they will build up others in the kingdom of believers, and this will be often to the detriment of themselves. So what are these fruits? To answer that, let's look back at those televangelists and a word that I've recently discovered that I like, McChurch. McChurch preachers. They preach a prosperity gospel that just doesn't work. If you give to the church, even if you have nothing left for yourself, give to the church, even if you can't. In so doing, you will glorify God, and in return, God must give you the things in return. They cite the prayer of Jabez. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. This is interpreted that if you give to God, he will give you whatever you pray for. Or they quote Christ from the Gospel of St. John, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." This is seen as proof that God is just like Santa Claus. If you are good and from the preacher's Rolex habit, then God will grant your wishes. The fruit of these ministers is never positive. There may be a short-lived boost in the spirit of the follower, but there is no benefit to the church or to the true glory of God. So what does that matter to us? Father Bo seems pretty well put together, right? He and the Anglican Church as a whole preach the Catholic faith, so we're fine. No wolves in sheep clothing here. It matters to us because these false prophets are what the outside world sees as Christianity. To those who are unchurched, those evil and misguided charlatans are the reason why they don't believe. At one point in history, the church as a whole would censure these false prophets, sometimes even to the point of burning. But today, there's little united voice within Christianity to fight against these liars. Their fruits are the destruction of the church, the poverty of their followers, and the growing unbelief of the masses. So like Christ charged us in today's reading, it is our duty to cut them down. I am widely outspoken personally against these people and their message, and people usually tell me, well, you know, at least they're bringing people to Christ. But are they? These people reject orthodox belief and build superficial faith in their followers, which is easily lost, and which can lead to the rejection of Christianity as a whole. So we need to be the louder voice. Whenever we get the opportunity to oust these wolves among us and bring people to true faith, then we have a responsibility to do so. We all need to remember what Christ said. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.